This is the Quality News Network. Washington lawmakers consider a House bill that would require President Bush to show a concrete plan for the withdrawal of U.S. troops from Iraq. The bill does not set a timetable for pulling troops out, and Republican leaders say they won't oppose it. The head of private security contractor Blackwater defended his staff before a House Oversight and Government Reform Committee today. He told the committee they acted appropriately at all times. His testimony comes as the FBI investigation continues into a Blackwater shootout last month in Iraq that killed 11. A Washington Post ABC News poll shows only about 25% of Americans support the administration's $190 billion war funding request. British Prime Minister Gordon Brown is visiting Iraq for the first time. He's meeting with authorities to discuss a drawdown of Britain's 5,000 troops in southern Iraq. That would have 1,000 of them home by Christmas. Violence in Iraq declined, according to a report out yesterday, but a UN report out today finds that attacks in Afghanistan have risen by 20%. They are now at the highest level since the 2001 U.S.-led invasion. For only the second time in 50 years, the leaders of South and North Korea met today for peace talks, talks centered on Pyongyang's nuclear weaponry program and its shutdown. A United Nations envoy left Myanmar after finally being allowed to meet with the country's leader. No progress, though, was reported in swaying the regime from a brutal government crackdown on a peaceful pro-democracy movement. In Islamabad, opposition lawmakers resigned today, protesting Pakistani President General Pervez Musharraf's bid for a second 5-year term. Other candidates for the office also took their course to the country's case to the country's Supreme Court, asking that it disqualify Musharraf because he's chief of the country's army. The trial of 7 men who allegedly plotted to bomb landmark buildings, including the Sears Tower in Chicago, got underway in Miami today. Prosecution says the men were trying to bring down the U.S. government. They face up to 70 years in prison if convicted. In Minnesota, opening arguments began today in the first trial of a consumer accused of copyright violation for illegally sharing songs on a file-sharing network. You are listening to the Quality News Network.
Do you know the expression, put on your best face? Never was that suggestion more important, especially in the increasingly fast-paced world of the Internet. The people at Byte Technology are experts in making sure that the hits their clients' websites receive turn into a satisfying visit and more business. Byte gets to the core of every business and brings the heart of the operation to the Internet. Whether you are selling products or services, reaching out for new business, or supplying information to a sector of the business community, it is vital that you attract the right visitors and deliver them what they need quickly and effectively. Byte Technology goes further, providing maintenance updates to keep your site ahead of the curve, ahead of the competition. Assure your company's future. Talk with the team at Byte Technology to learn how you can put on your best internet face. Byte Technology. See the difference at byte-technology.com or call 831-656-9178.
According to a report by the Associated Press, laboratory accidents involving deadly viruses and poisonous chemicals are on the rise. The number of laboratories approved to handle deadly substances has doubled in the last 3 years. Nokia will pay $8.1 billion to acquire digital mapmaker Navtec. Navtec's maps are used primarily in automobile navigation systems. eBay announced it will take a $1.43 billion charge as a result of its acquisition of internet phone company Skype. In addition, Skype's CEO will leave his active position. Chocolate maker Hershey named its COO to take over from its present CEO, Richard Lenny, who just announced yesterday that he would retire December 1st. Sales of Fords have dropped 21% in September, while Toyota and Chrysler posted smaller drops and GM held steady. Honda sales increased more than 9% and Nissan gained 7%. Gold is trading at $736.36 an ounce. That's down $17.80 an ounce. Light sweet crude is trading at $80.05 a barrel. The Dow closed down 40 points at 14,047. The Nasdaq was up 6 and the S&P 500 was even. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
Get a the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 48 of Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the GLBT version of Conversation Radio. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day. Today is Tuesday, October 2nd, and if you are listening at approximately 9 p.m. Eastern Time, you are listening to a live stream on Tuesday, October 2nd, and you are more than welcome to call into the show. I should point out that this particular show is probably the most closely inspected program that has ever left the Horn Studios. We have members of at least two internet service providers who are closely examining every single packet that comes into and out of both the studio and the main studio in West Virginia and me here in Tallahassee to get to the problem of the bottom of our problems. So far, so good, and the inspectors are doing a good job. The telephone lines are open, the toll-free lines are open if you would like to call in and speak to our guest or myself. I'll be introducing Bill Browning in just a moment. The toll-free line is the 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on, or that translates to being 877-443-2366. If you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, you can use that and save the studio a nickel or a buck. That's 304-658-3333. Mail arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com if you would like to talk with us that way, and I normally try to check the email during the breaks. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and there you're going to find links to all of the guests and to the audio archives from past shows, as well as to the chat room, which is active as I speak. You'll find a link there just under the Strictly Confidential logo. You'll find links to the main Head On Radio Network site. There you can find out about all of the progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page also, and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. I am hearing from the studio that everything is still good and go, which is wonderful news. And welcome to all of our background packet inspectors who are listening to this in the background. Thank you for sticking with us this evening. Our guest is none other than Bill Browning. Now, Bill Browning is, of course, a GLBT activist. He's a writer, and he is most famously the managing editor of the Blerico Project. The Blerico Project started actually from his personal homepage and has now expanded to a national level, a full-blown GLBT political site and cultural site. Bill has guided it through the entire evolution. The Blerico Project is a diverse group of contributors. There are over 30 activists, they're writers, bloggers, authors, academics. All are contributing. There are people from, example, the Human Rights Campaign, the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, the National Center for Transgender Equality. There are also entertainment features like, and this is a hoot, if you haven't seen it, you've got to stop by, A Town Called Dobson, which never fails to amuse. Another contributor is Pam Spaulding from Pam's House Blend. And Pam, if you're listening, I'd like to thank you on air. You know, it would be virtually impossible to pull together a 2 hours of GLBT news and information 5 nights a week without the assistance of your wonderful blog and so many others that I refer to. So without any further ado, welcome to the show, Bill Browning.
Hi, Peter. How are you?
I'm doing well, and I must say I'm thrilled that we're actually communicating. We've had so many issues lately regarding a 9 p.m. phenomenon. We were beginning to wonder if we were being attacked from the outside. If we are, certainly our IP people or our internet providers are fending it off rather well.
Well, there's been some of that going around. You know, several of the feminist websites have been hit by the various hackers and everything. So keep your fingers crossed.
Yes, yes. I'm hoping we're back to whatever normal is at this point in time. You know, Bill, I have to begin by asking you what the word Blerico, what's the source? How did you come up with that name?
That's the question everybody always asks. Blerico actually goes back to when I was in college. My roommate, her name was Eri Muramatsu, and we became best friends and have been best friends ever since. And she had to move back to Japan at one point. Her visa had expired, and we were constantly sending stuff back and forth. And we used to laugh and joke that, boy, we should really start an import-export business here with as much stuff as we're shipping back and forth. And, well, we could call it Blerico, Bill and Eri's company. So when it came time years later to, you know, and I first signed online, and I think it was AOL, and I needed a screen name, just out of, you know, an homage to Eri, I decided I was going to use Blerico, but it was taken, believe it or not. So I opted for the other and went with Blerico, and it's kind of been there ever since. And, you know, I think it was 9 years ago someone actually bought Blerico.com for me as a gift. So, and here we are today.
I see. Well, actually, it's a very professional sounding name. I've figured that B-I-L stood for Bill, obviously, and then the rest was a complete mystery to me. I just could not figure it out.
Well, my partner, when we actually met online, and for the longest time, he thought my name was Billy Rico and that I was Hispanic. So there you go. Nobody ever knows, and most people, I'm actually kind of rather proud of you there, Peter, for pronouncing it correctly. We hear a lot of people that pronounce it in all sorts of different ways, so.
Well, I had to sort of write it out and run it through in a couple of different versions, and finally I decided that it just had to be Blerico. There was just no other option. I figured it had to be. Bill, you know, I think we need a word. You know, there's so much going on these days, and you know, there are sites where we refer to ourselves as LGBT, and then there's GLBT, and then there's GLBTQ, and then there's GLBTQQ for queer questioning. And the variants go on and on. What do you think about a word for us?
That's a really good question. We've had several conversations on Blerico about usage, actually. That's been one of those conversations that you see just that happens over and over again. We have one contributor, for example, Don Scherfick, that absolutely hates the word queer. Alex Blaze, our content editor, loves queer, and I hope I can say this for Alex, would be very comfortable with everybody just being labeled queer. So I think with a community as diverse as ours, I don't know that there will ever be one word to label us, and I don't know that we actually really need one word to label us. We're more diverse than one word.
Well, I have to agree that in the spirit of that, I suppose I bring it up doing what I do and doing what you do just for the convenience factor. It would be simpler for us anyway if we had a word. I dream of a day when there is a word. It would make life easier.
Wouldn't it? You know, it's kind of when we first started Blerico, I said GLBT all of the time. And a friend of mine, a lesbian, took me aside and said, you know, it should be LGBT, not GLBT. And I thought, oh, well, now we've went from, you know, what the words are and what's included to what order that they're in. But something that she said actually stuck with me, and you'll notice our site, we say LGBT. And that's just because she said, you know, I may be old-fashioned, but ladies first. LGBT it was after that.
Very good, very good. And I have often wondered at that, because we vary that also between GLBT and my strictly confidential homepage says GLBT, and it's only because that's what I was accustomed to. But I rather like that. I think I may go change it, because that also appeals to my southern sensibilities also.
Well, yeah, that kind of, you know, that was the way that I was raised, too. And it was like, well, okay, that really makes sense to me. I'll go for that.
Well, it certainly beats gender outlaws. That's the closest I could come. You know, in one of your articles, you have I was looking back through some of the things you've written for Balearico, and you have one particular article that begins with a sentence: "Sometimes you've just had enough, and I've hit that point." And I couldn't agree with you more. You know, often there seems to be a contingent that wants us to be the standard, very polite thank you and no thank you homosexuals, that it doesn't seem to get us anywhere in the world these days. I was glad to see that you said something like that. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, there's a song that I really love that starts out, "When there's nothing left to burn, you have to set yourself on fire." And, you know, I think that's the sensibility that I pretty much run on anymore, is there's a time and a place for being polite, of course. I think civil discourse has really taken a back seat in our society now that in the days of Fox News and the constant blaring headlines and the sensationalism, and as my partner Jeremy would always talk, news is a profit now. But you... Oh, I lost what I was saying now. I got all up in my soapbox and then completely lost it.
That happens. That happens a lot around here.
I was watching the chat room there for a second, and it caught my attention.
I see. I didn't realize you were... Oh, there you are in chat. I didn't realize you were certainly there, Balearico.
We have to get back to civil discourse, of course. But what we absolutely have to do is not be taken for granted any longer. And sometimes that requires more than civil discourse. And any type of protest or activism that can be done doesn't necessarily mean that that's not going to be civil.
Well, I understand what you're saying, especially the taken for granted, and which brings to my mind the whole Hillary Clinton thing. Now, it seems fairly obvious to me that Hillary is going to be our candidate. She's certainly heavily induced, endorsed by the gay community. As interestingly enough, Giuliani seems to be heavily endorsed by the log, what we call them here, the log closet Republicans. But in any case, you know, this taken for granted thing, there seems to be sort of a wink and a nod agreement between our community and Hillary that she says she's still evaluating or thinking about the whole gay marriage thing, but there's sort of a understanding that in reality she really is all for it, but she just can't say that. What are your thoughts about that?
Another interesting, it's almost as if you've been listening in our house to Jeremy and I's conversations.
I assure you, our packet helpers are not that good.
About at home, you know. Hillary is not my first choice to start with. Do I think that she's going to end up the candidate? Yes. Therefore, am I not willing to say I'm not a Hillary supporter? You see where I'm going. Do I think that she does that? Yes. Yeah, of course I do. She's a politician. She's been in the political limelight from her time as a first lady through senator, and she's worked in politics for a long, long time. She knows what she's doing. And, you know, it's kind of like Jeremy and I were talking. There's anymore, sometimes you have somebody that actually says what they're talking, like a Howard Dean or a John McCain, and they go and they burn really bright for a short time, and then their support just kind of dissipates. And that's usually because they tend to be more of the straight talkers. McCain, although once he stopped doing that, that's when his support more dissipated. But with Dean, once you say something that the majority doesn't really like, oh, well, then they're off to the next person. Which kind of shows us why Hillary Clinton is the way that she is, because she has to have that mass appeal and have to talk out of both sides of her mouth to be able to actually get elected to do anything to start with.
Well, that's a good point. And I would say that perhaps it is a survival skill to have done what she has done for so long and survived it all. This sort of doublespeak is a political survival skill. I hate it. And again, Hillary is not my first choice, but if she's the candidate, obviously I would dutifully go out and vote for her. But the thing is that, you know, you wonder about the heritage from her husband. You know, her husband signed the Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and he signed the Defense of Marriage Act. And if you'll remember, just prior to his first election, in a speech in California, he was speaking to a gay audience, and he said, "I have seen the future, and you're in it." And there was applause and tears running down cheeks. You know, everybody was so thrilled to feel included for the first time by any politician who would actually say that. And you just have to wonder. I have a little fear that I can't trust her. How do you feel?
You know, my opposition to Hillary is more based on the fact that I really don't like the idea of going Bush-Clinton. That's too many years in the control of two families for me.
Good point.
With Hillary, I don't know. You talk out of both sides of your mouth. You have to do some things that will get you further. And, well, Peter, I don't know about you, but compared to when Bill Clinton took office and Bush the Elder was actually being thrown out, do you feel more included? I do. He was right. And no matter how you look at it, he was right. I feel more included. I have a blog that reaches thousands of people about LGBT politics now. That wasn't around back then. Now, did that have anything to do with Al Gore in the meantime inventing the Internet? Maybe so. But we can actually speak now. We have the capability of being able to influence elections. We can do it online. We have gay TV shows. We have gay TV networks. You're on a radio station that, listen to your show. Would you have been even around back then? Influencing ourselves. We're part of the process now. Now we just have to use that wisely.
Well, this is all, of course, true. I was, for a moment there, about to say, that's really all because of the Internet, the advances in the Internet. But, you know, that would also be true for, heterosexual liberal folks. About our only outlet is the Internet. Of course, the AM band and the airwaves are pretty much completely controlled by the conservatives.
Yeah, although I have found, at least in my experience, I live in Indianapolis, the conservative AM radio stations, they have me on all the time. And actually, I don't do that bad. They're not that hateful. For the vast majority of the time, it's no longer like it was back in Bush the First, where you were just, faggot and queer and... basically, you could feel disgust in people's voice as they talked to you. Now, at least you've got people that are spouting off Rush Limbaugh talking points, but at least they're staying on the talking points.
Really? So are you talking about local conservative shows that are, citywide or regional?
Yeah, and most of them, I think, are pretty much Indianapolis-based. But it's a marked difference I see in the public. I think while Bush has really, really tried to lead us back down the path of using queers as the scapegoat, I don't necessarily know that the people are buying it. They did for a while, but I think they're starting to see the light.
Well, that is encouraging, and I have to say it is a point that many of the guests bring home to me when I head in this direction with them about any progress that we've made. You know, with what I do, and you too, we see all the bad news. We see what's coming out from the American Family Association. We realize that the whole anti-gay rhetoric from Dobson it's a money making machine. By the way, they had to lay off some people recently. Did you hear about that? I thought it was wonderful news.
No, I didn't hear about that, actually.
Yes, they had to lay off, I think it was 30 employees in their fundraising area. Apparently, times are not...
Yeah, that's right. Yes, I forgot about that.
Yeah, times are not so good.
I think I actually still have that saved in my folder under Blogworthy, where I was going to do a post on it and never got around to it. Thanks for reminding me of that. Look for a post on that soon.
Okay, yeah, that always thrills the cockles of my heart when I mean just to imagine layoffs at and another interesting thing that just came up, you know, they There was a meeting in Salt Lake City where the conservatives were getting together to, Dobson was involved, I have a little list of names somewhere in my stack. They're talking about coming up with another candidate, which I think we should all, fall on our knees and pray for. If the Christian conservatives come up with another candidate, it would badly split the Republican Party, of course. But I noticed in the article that Dobson drove, this is just me, I pick up on funny stuff, that Dobson drove from Colorado to Salt Lake City, and I noted that he did not fly, which tells me perhaps times are tough.
Maybe they're having to park the private plane for a while.
Yeah, Indiana, I've missed some stuff. Apparently, in one of your articles, you're talking about a legislator, one of your state legislators, was receiving oral sex in a parking lot. When did this happen? Was this my day off? What's up with that?
This was several years ago. But and I'd like to point out that at no point did we mention anybody's name. And but yeah, it's pretty much common knowledge around most of the Indiana legislature. It was a pretty common thing, a pretty well known thing that had happened. We still haven't named the name yet, but you just have to still find the proof. Everybody's willing to tell the story, but nobody has the proof, and I'm still looking for the proof on that. So. Once we have it, we'll be sure to name names because, Mr. Family Values isn't really that much about family values.
I see. So apparently he's still in business, as to use a phrase, at the State
yes.
House. Yeah. And what's yep. this about out-of-town legislators visiting the Unicorn Club? Is that a bar in Indiana?
Yeah, that's the local strip bar, where you have to be a member to be able to get in and all of the dancing boys and stuff. So apparently back in the day, this is apparently before my time, there used to be an upstairs, because I've only lived in Indianapolis like the last 10 years. There used to be a private upstairs area or something, and you had to know people to be able to go up there and It seemed to be a pretty popular hangout for a few of the state legislators that are currently still in office. We have a few that are, as I like to say it, just have the worst case of gay face that you've ever seen. The kind of person that you can just look at the picture automatically and go, hello, you're one of mine.
Yeah, I know the feeling. I received an email, by the way, in the article you were talking about, pointing out situations like this. Received an email today from one of our listeners, and this particular listener is always reliable for information. And she says she's been looking at the Blackwater. Blackwater is in the news lately. And she said she was doing some researching on Eric Prince, who's, of course, the founder and the head of Blackwater, and I think he's got a lot of Amway money, and the whole family has got silver spoons lying around everywhere. But according to her, she was looking at the Wikipedia article on Eric Prince, and she says the entry says that, quote, he is rumored to have several homosexual affairs, end quote. So that might be a lead for you if you want to pursue that. Now, I did go to the Wikipedia site to have a look at that, and that particular phrase is missing. Of course, Wikipedia changes every time you turn around, but I trust this particular listener. Perhaps that's something to another one you can add a notch in your belt.
I will do my best. I will start checking that out. I know of a few other contributors that would be interested in researching something like that.
Good.
I pretty much stay with the Indiana legislature and Indiana politics with anything like that. Although Mike Rogers, who is a contributor to the project, as you well know, is more involved with the national scene. And
I see. Yeah. Well, I noticed you had a quote from. Spong the other day. I think that's how you pronounce his name. Is it? Is that correct?
As far as I know, yeah.
Yeah. He's going to be joining us here at some point later this month, I hope. Very interesting man. I was thrilled to see that you had a comment. I don't have it printed out in front of me, but it was well stated, to be sure.
Yeah, I'm trying. I'm looking here on the site really quick to see if I can find it really quickly, but it was a good one. I remember that because I was the one that chose that quote, just because it stuck out.
Tell me about your feeling about why you feel that the gay community and the lesbian community, all of us wrapped up in that, in whatever word we use, the fascination with Hillary. I don't understand it. She leaves me feeling a little cold. I know we're going back to something that we visited, but I'm trying to understand this complete allegiance that seems to be going around.
You know, I don't know that is just the gay community, though. As I've been watching some of the Gallup polls, Hillary's numbers keep increasing, especially among the undecided. That's only positive for her. They're, like I said, they're really good at what they do, and what they do is politics. And politics now involves PR, media relations, communications with the internet, as well as just having a candidate that gets out and says, "This is what I believe in. If you vote for me, I will be your person." So it's you know, I joke a lot on the site, and I say that it's Bushco, because really it is. I mean, we all know that he's just, you know, like the little engineer boop, boop, that could leading the train, you know, and everybody's doing the conga line behind him. But with Hillary, she's intelligent. She's leading this crowd. Now, well, that's a whole different ballgame than Bushco, because while that could look a lot better and that could seem a lot better, at the same time, I'm with you, Peter. I'm a little uncertain as to whether or not that will necessarily get better. You know, at least with Bush, you can go, well, the guy's an idiot. What do you expect? Well, does that turn into with Hillary? Well, she is really politically smart. What did we expect? I don't know.
Very well said. Can you explain the phenomenon of a log cabin Republican to us? I have people ask me that. I'm always at a loss to fully explain it. Perhaps you have some insight.
Well, interestingly enough, and I'm a Democrat. Let me say this up front. I am running a campaign, though, for a current city county councilor who is a Republican. So I've actually gotten kind of a look at the whole log cabin Republicans. And
interesting.
I have to say, I'm locally, I believe, probably is a whole different breed than nationally, because nationally I've seen the excusing of George Bush, and, well, that's inexcusable. But I haven't really ran into anybody here that considered themselves a log cabin Republican that thought Bush was a great guy, or would even really admit that they had voted for him. But with my candidate, for example, Scott, he's the candidate that advertises on our site, Scott Keller. Here's a gentleman that has literally bucked his own party, bucked the Democratic Party, whatever it's taken to get the job done that he feels needs to be done. He's voted for the HRO, was a co-sponsor for it both times, lead sponsor. He's obviously gay-friendly. We should support him. And whether that's Republican, Democrat, or an independent candidate, my money and my time goes to the candidate that's going to affect my life best. Now, it just so happens that Scott happens to be my city councilor as well. But even if he wasn't, I would have volunteered for it and said, "Put me on the case, boss. I want to win this for you." Because I think it's important that we keep friends on both sides of the aisle. And I think that's what the log cabin Republican way of thinking is that, you know, I was with this party, because they tend to be older folks usually, and that, or at least here, that they want the dream of what the Republican Party used to be, of just small government, and it's not involved in your life very much, because that does fit what we're after too. You know, stay out of my bedroom. Stay out of my life, just give me equality and let me be like everybody else, is pretty much what we're asking for. And I think that their needs for small government has unfortunately, though, wrapped itself up in the party. Now, we have that on the Democratic side as well. We have people that are so ferociously Democrat that anything Republican whatsoever is absolutely bad, and it's horrible, and it will be the end of the earth if it even sees the light of day. Well, we know that's not true. And it's not going to get us anywhere. So I tend to give the log cabin Republicans a pass just because, well, somebody has to be there going, y'all are crazy. And I mean, I don't know about you, but as an activist of several years, Peter, I found myself a lot of times the person in the room going, y'all are crazy. What are you thinking about doing? Think this out through logically. Now, a lot of times when you're that lone voice in the wilderness, you get ignored. The log cabin Republicans, they get ignored a lot. But you always need that one voice saying, think about it. I don't care who you are.
Very good. That's a far finer brush than I often paint with. And painting with a broad brush is not always a good idea. So this, there was somewhere on your site I came across the fact that you were helping someone campaign, and I didn't know who. I went to victoryfund.org to see what was going on in Indiana. We've had some guests who are listed in Victory Fund as candidates, and I didn't see anyone in Indiana. So I'm glad you explained that. That was one of the things I was wondering about is who that might be. Is this someone you've known for a while, a personal friend? Okay, I have a dial tone there. I think Bob will be bringing the guests back as quickly as possible.
Peter, I will. I think he just lost his connection because we lost him in the chat room, too.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sorry to
not
interrupt.
Not a problem. Thank you. Okie doke. We hope we get Bill back. There's plenty more we'd like to talk to him about. And I tell you what, since it's 9:36, why don't we do a break? We often don't do breaks when we have guests. We just go on and on and on and on. So here's a good opportunity to actually slip in a bottom of the hour break. So as we head to the break, this is Peter Godbold, and you're listening to Strictly Confidential on the Head On Radio Network.
We know you want to save big on your phone bill, and we know how you can.
That's right. We do.
We're saving more than 50% on our home phone bill since we switched to CityNet's digital phone plan.
Really? Over 50%?
CityNet's digital phone plan is only $24.95 a month.
Only $24.95?
You get unlimited local and long-distance calling.
Just $24.95?
And with CityNet's digital phone plan, you keep your current number. All you need is a high-speed internet connection. Get details at citynet.net.
$24.95.
And, oh, this is cool. With CityNet's digital plan, I can use my home phone anywhere in the world with high-speed internet. No extra cost.
There's 20, and there's 4, and there's 95.
Did I mention CityNet is a West Virginia-owned company?
Did I mention $24.95?
Save at least 50% on your residential phone. Get unlimited local and long distance, and keep your same number, all for just $24.95 a month. Visit citynet.net today for more details. Some exclusions and restrictions may apply.
I can't see.
And again, I was talking about the Republican debate. So we'll get to the point where we're going to drag a terrorist out to the stage with the Republicans, and they're all going to take turns kicking him in the nuts and see who the audience cheers for the most. That's going to determine who's going to be the Republican candidate. And that's what they are. Kick him in the nuts. How do they do that on South Park? Rochambeau. They're going to Rochambeau the terrorists.
Come on, rub my nipples while I torture this little piggy.
No, that sounds pretty sweet to me.
The Cup of Joe radio show with your host, the working man's thinking man, Joe Vecchio. 11 a.m. to noon weekdays here on the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice.
Hi, I'm V.
And I'm John.
And we're from Fierce, a community organization for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer questioning youth of color in New York City.
For many years, the Christian Fellowship here has been a place for our community, a space where we can all go and be ourselves.
A space where healthcare providers can come and provide free HIV testing, and information to other services.
However, these services and safe space are being threatened.
To become a member of FIERCE and help keep our Christopher Pierce safe for queer and trans people, contact us at 646-336-6789 or visit our website at fiercenyc.org.
Welcome back to Strictly Confidential. I am Peter Godbold, and we are having an interesting evening here with Bill Browning from the Valerico Project. We lost Bill there for a moment, but thank goodness that was just a telephone company problem. It was not an internet streaming issue. I'm very relieved. If you'd like to call on the show, the telephone number is toll-free 877, the number 4, head-on. That's 877, the number 4, head-on. Or if you have an unlimited long-distance calling plan, please use 304-658-3333. That rings in West Virginia. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com. And I believe we have Mr. Browning back. Mr. Browning, are you still with us?
I sure am. Sorry
Wonderful.
About that, Peter.
Not a problem. My heart only stopped for a moment. You know?
The joys of doing interviews on a cell phone.
Yes. I, of course, my mind rushed to the other end of the spectrum that it was an entirely different issue. I'm glad to hear it was only a telco issue. You know, I'm getting a PMs from some of our chatters, and I think Fancy Free mentioned it to you. You know, I'm glad to see that one of your regular bloggers on the Valerico Project is the National Center for Transgender Equality. We've had several transgender guests, most recently Julia Serrano. You may know her. We are going to be having her back soon to talk about the latest Bailey issue. And I have a busy signal. We'll get Bill back. And, you know, what can I tell you? Telephone companies. I'll tell you a little story while we're waiting for Bill. Tell you a little story. There was a reggae concert that was canceled. If you recall, we've been talking about the vicious anti-gay and anti-female reggae artists lately. We've talked about that on several occasions. There were people protesting in England about it. Apparently, they were able to cancel a Canadian gay rights group. Was able to get a show canceled. The reggae stars were Sizzla, S-I-Z-Z-L-A. Sounds like a drag queen name. It's Miss Sizzla and Elephant Man were canceled. It was a fierce campaign, actually, by the Canadian gay rights lobbyists. Canada's anti-prejudice laws, outlaw the instigation of a hate crime. And so the lyrics that these people... were presenting were clearly about instigating crimes or promoting macho. It's hard to say exactly what the logic is, but Canada has banned anti-Jewish, anti-black people from coming into the country, and this, of course, should be no different. Of course, that both those reggae artists are very famous for their violent lyrics, and we've read some of the lyrics on this show a while back, and as you already know, that's pretty disturbing. So way to go, Canada, and way to go, England. You've blocked some, too. I haven't heard anything of any of them being blocked in the United States, but it would make my little heart happy if to hear that there was a United States reggae concert with the kind of hate speech that that they are putting out that got canceled. Bill, dare I talk to you? Are you with us, Bill?
Let's try this again. You know, they say third time's charm.
Oh, I'm just so relieved the problems with the phone company. I mean, it's just hardly phasing me at all. In any case, when we lost the connection, I was explaining that I was glad to see that you have one of your regular bloggers is from the National Center for Transgender Equality. And I was pointing out that we've recently had Julia Serrano on this show, and we're going to be having her back soon to talk about the latest insults from that the Bailey guy with the who wrote the book The Man Who Would Be Queen. You no doubt know all about that. We're going through this thing now with the ENDA, and there was this whole push to drop the transsexuals from it. It's my feeling that nobody needs that protection more. Time after time, I hear that you can't get a job, you can't transition on the job. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, to me, it boils down to a very, very simple solution. It's where the LGBT community, damn it. The Marines don't leave anybody behind, and neither do we.
Good
so
point.
I don't care what it takes. We're all one community. If you start dividing, the enemy wins. It's one of the basic rules of war is divide your enemy. And I'm sorry, but if now the gays and lesbians have their protections and we're going to go off and fight for ours, and I'm sorry, transgender folk, but you just might not make it this time. Bull crap. It's all or nothing. Because these same time that you've got these same people that are saying, well, we can at least get this and we should go for it and we'll come back. Well, time and time again, you see that it takes forever if it comes. I mean, Barney Frank guest posted on the Balearico Project and laid out his reasons why he thought that there should be two, that we should just go ahead and pursue gay and lesbian rights as versus an all-inclusive bill. And I look at that, and I look at Barney's home state of Massachusetts, where they did that. And sexual orientation passed a while ago, and there's still no gender identity protection.
Good point.
That's crap.
Yes, I agree.
Crap.
It seems to me that that was 5 years ago. It still hasn't passed in 5 years. They haven't revised it.
And not just there. Around the nation, it's been that way. Bayard Rustin was talking to Martin Luther King Jr. and said, come on, you got to do something for the gays, and got told, not now. We're just now at the spot where we could get ours. Granted, Barney Frank is right. This is how civil rights happens. You've got the women and the blacks, then the Hispanics and the disabled. It is a steady progression of seeing the needs and moving on. But do we continue that process? Or do we say, that's kind of screwed up. It's all or nothing. Make everybody equal and let's be done with this. Let's not have to keep doling it out as if equality is something that can only be measured in small doses. That's ridiculous. Give everyone the rights and get it over with. For those that they say, how are we going to make sure that we've got the votes? The whip vote says we don't have it. Well, at the same time, I think Nadine Smith had a really good post on our site called Don't Fear the Whip Vote. Because, if you don't want to have to vote on something, and you're having this whip vote in the legislature, which is, do you want me to explain what a whip vote is?
Yes, please.
When it's going through, the various legislators will tell the sponsor, I'm going to vote in favor of it, or I'm not going to vote for it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that's exactly what's really going to happen. So the leadership can say, we want to take this whip vote, which means we want to poll all of our members to find out exactly how you're going to vote. It's as if you're voting on the floor, so just tell us what you're voting now. And then they can do their math and figure out, we need so-and-so. It's a procedural move so they can see where they stand. But if you're a congressman and you don't want to have to vote on an ENDA that says it includes gender identity because you're a little afraid that maybe that's not going to play so well back home, you say your whip vote is going to be no, even though you would vote for it anyway because you know they'd kill you at home if you voted against sexual orientation. So it can be manipulated. And perhaps it's time that we did put some of our friends in politics on notice with, if you're not going to to support all of us, we're not all going to support you.
Well, I think that's well said. To me, it reminds me of the time when we were trying to sweep all of the more feminine gay guys under the rug. If you'll recall, we were saying that the drag queens were a bad example and that we would never get anything done with them, you know, out front, and that we tried to sweep them into the closet. When in fact, it was the transgendered and some of the drag queens that primarily, as best I can tell, were involved in the Stonewall riots. I mean, it seems to me it kind of started there.
Yeah, who started Stonewall? That was drag queens throwing bottles and rocks. You know, if anything, the gay and lesbian community owes the transgender the fact that we won't leave them behind, since they've gotten us started and off our butts to begin with. It's as simple as that. There's just, I'm a little concerned actually by HRC's statement today. That kind of, let me see if I'll run back over here to the laptop and see if I can't pull this up, because it's one of the worst statements I've read in a long time. And they say, we are not able to support I'm getting ahead of myself. Therefore, we are not able to support, nor will we encourage members of Congress to vote against the newly introduced sexual orientation-only bill. Well, what does that really say, Peter? We're not able to support it. Okay, I have that part. That's in my head. But we won't encourage members of Congress to vote against it. So you're kind of tacitly endorsing it? That seems to be the level down from support and up from vote against.
We know this is reminiscent of some of the conversations I've had with the T's in our rainbow that have been on this show, that HRC is in many ways just pushing them to the side. There is, best I can tell, a general feeling in the transgender community that's the case.
I've heard that quite a bit. I'm not transgender, and honestly, I haven't been involved in transgender politics for a large amount of time, if you even consider me as, you know, being involved in it. I was more than running a website. So I don't know the history. I wasn't there. I didn't live through it. Several people who have told me their versions of it. And I don't think it was a happy time for HRC or the transgender community. And I think that seems to be something that HRC should consider more in trying to do this, is the history that they do have with the transgender community. It really worries me that this could fracture the community, because I don't think that there's anything that the right wing would like more than to divide us. Because, you know, united to stand, divided to fall. Well, if we start squabbling over whether or not the T should be included, I mean, just the idea of that is stupendous to me, because they literally have us arguing whether or not we all belong. That's incredibly brilliant on their behalf, because isn't that about the only thing that could actually divide us as a community?
Well,
it's like you said, talking about the femmy men and, you know, the whole butch femme divide. This completely buys into that and is being used to try to divide the gay community, and it's being successful.
Well, I've been giving that some thought as to just what is the reason that that so many of us are willing to discard the T's in the rainbow. And of course, there's the whole butch femme issue. But as I thought about it today, I began to wonder. I'm wondering if part of that is a prejudice in terms of thinking that transgendered folks are transgendering, are making the change in order to become heterosexuals. Therefore, as heterosexuals, they really don't count anyway, because they're not part of. My mind is, it was just trying to comprehend that. What do you think about that?
You know, like I said, and I may end up taking flack for something that I say that isn't politically correct, but when we started on the Balearico Project, we started as a gay and lesbian blog, and I had no big deal about not having any trans people on at all. One of our contributors, Bruce, actually said, you know, that's a little screwed up. You're the LGBT blog. Where's the T? And, well, that made sense. And Bruce came on. He's a gay guy. And he was blogging about trans issues, trying to find another trans blogger. Now that we've gone national, we have no problem, and our trans coverage is great. But that's really when I started going, maybe I should investigate this instead of being just so wrapped up in my own needs. And I think that's the problem that a lot of the gay community has with the trans community, is because just like blacks were to whites, the trans community has almost become the minstrels of the especially white gay community, because we see them as the drag queens. They're there performing in fabulous hair and makeup, and they've obviously got jobs because they're there at the bar every night with high heels on and wigs and looking fabulous. Well, that all takes, you know, money to keep up, so they must be doing fine. But that's not the truth of the matter. The truth of the matter is that while there are some drag queens, there's a hell of a lot of more folks out there that are intersex, transgender, old, young, black, white, absolutely everything. And a lot of them are scraping by trying to make a living. And I saw, I'll never get the number right, but something that showed that transgender employment was incredibly low compared to the general population. Well, the straight community has the problem of, oh my God, they don't really kind of understand, the average heterosexual, in my opinion anyway, doesn't understand gays or lesbians because, well, you're messing around with the same sex. And anything that involves gender nonconformity tends to be a little spooky to your average person. So maybe that's the leeriness for gays and lesbians, is the whole, you're messing with somebody of your own sex that's foreign to me. But, oh my God, the trans folks, they want to change their own sex. How horrible. Hands in the air, run around like your hair's on fire because that's even more foreign. Well, suddenly we've become good by comparison? Well, what kind of crap is that? No, we're not any different because, really, I mean, when you look at the history of discrimination in the workplace, do most employers tell you, I'm letting you go because you're a lesbian, Sally? Or do they say, Sally, you just don't fit in. You don't do your hair. You don't paint your nails. You don't look as pretty as Betsy does when she's answering the phone. It's more of a butch-femme dichotomy that's going on again. If you don't act like the gender that you're supposed to be, if you're a really Nelly guy and you run around with, you know, flames shooting off your heels every day, they're going to let you go. And they're not going to say it's because you're gay. They're going to find any other reason that they can use. Or they might just be able to get by, with, since we're not going to cover tease apparently, by saying, you know, you were a little too femme.
Well, you know, I couldn't have said that better myself. That was well thought out. And I have to say I have learned a lot in talking to some of our guests, the transgendered guests that we've had on. I was shocked to find out the level, and you're absolutely right about the poverty figures for transgendered folks. Many of them are living, are either homeless or are forced to become sex workers because employment is pretty much impossible. Now, of course, you have the performers in some of the clubs who are doing quite well in some of the clubs, but again, that's the only thing that's visible. That's not true by any means across the board. And and also when we talk about violence, hate crimes on this program, often I hear that hate crimes against transgendered folks, and of course this is also true of GLBT folks, or gays and lesbians also, but especially in the case of transgendered folks, it's overkill. In other words, it's brutal beyond your wildest imagination. It's execution in the sense of annihilation. There seems to be some sort of rigid, especially in younger people who are doing some of these hate crimes, enforcing gender roles. Complicated, and we cannot leave them behind.
No, it's just, I'm. Who thinks it's a good idea politically, I can understand. Politically, it's an easier thing to do because, you know, I deal with politics quite a bit. But you don't always make the political decision. And we're back to our uneasiness with Hillary. And will the political decision be made? Well, I don't want the political decision to be made here. I want the just decision to be made here. I want the decision to be made here that benefits humanity and benefits all Americans, whether they're trans, gay, lesbian, bisexual, straight, questioning, independent, whatever all those darn letters are now in that alphabet soup. I want everybody to be equal. It's the only fair thing to do.
Agreed. And it's about time. If not now, when? You know, I see this a lot, especially coming from Poland and the USSR regarding the extreme prejudice that they're fighting back against gay pride parades over there. You know, people who are in leadership are saying things like, you know, you're damaging your cause by coming out on the streets. You should be, in other words, they want everybody to remain quiet and in the closet, and in other words, to enforce their level of comfort. There's this whole thing that we are being punished because we are challenging other people's comfort level and or their worldview. And this is a worldview they've had, you know, since they were kids growing up. So many of them have had it, you know, for what, 50, 60 years, however old they are. And I fully acknowledge, you know, being a gay man, that I've had my, you know, I'm 53, I've had my whole life to deal with, you know, being gay. And it doesn't mystify me or shock me in any way. But there's such a resistance. You know, it's almost, you have to wonder if you have to wait for a whole generation to you know, die of natural causes. I'm not threatening to kill anyone by any means, but to pass on. But if not now, when?
Well, thankfully, as you look at the polling, you can see that the younger generation is very much in favor of equality, especially amongst LGBT folk. You know, the T doesn't matter to them. But, and as polling that's been done here in Indiana that I've especially seen is very encouraging, because here we keep facing the threat of a marriage amendment. We haven't passed one yet. And we actually kind of sort of pseudo-defeated it last year when it tied in committee in the last vote that it could have had. Now, if it had gone on, it probably would have passed. But it tied, and, well, it has to pass, not tie. So, yeah, we kind of defeated it. You know what I mean? More like it got stuck in the doorway on the way through. But they can bring it back this year. But when we look at the polling on the issue, the older you are, the more likely you are to be in favor of a marriage amendment. You want to protect that status quo. You want it, like you said, Peter, you're in your 50s. You've had time to get used to it. These folks are in their 50s or 60s. They don't want to get used to it. They want things to be like it's always been. That's what makes them comfortable. The younger generation, on the other hand, well, they're still all about change. They want things to go fast, and they want it, you know, everything has to be the same anyway. Well, that kind of works for us, and it works in our favor. Again, look at it how it was with Bush the Elder. Things have changed. They've changed dramatically. And really, has it been, yeah, it's been a couple decades, but that's in the grand scheme of things. That's nothing. You'd be in your 70s. I'd be in my 50s. The way medicine is now, we'd probably both still be alive, sitting in rocking chairs and, you know, cussing those younger folks for being so rowdy.
Well, I do that a little, is it? Already, Bill, I hate to scare you, buddy. I'm already a rocking and a cussing. Bill, your thoughts are well said. I don't think you're in trouble with anybody. I think you're doing a great job. Let's talk about the Blairco Project just a bit. How in the world did you manage to take it from your own webpage to a national organization or and also there was a name change. You changed it from Blairco.com, I believe, to BlaircoProject.com. Can you tell us about that, how it started and how what the things happened to move that along?
Well, in the very beginning, it was just my personal homepage. And, I mean, I was all excited learning how to do HTML back in the day when everybody was making their GeoCities pages and all that kind of stuff. I had a fan page for Mercedes Lackey Books. I had, you know, like a little bit on tattoos, and it was a mess. When I was involved with a case that where I was actually fired for being gay, and we fought back. I lived in Bloomington at the time. They had a city ordinance that prohibited discrimination against sexual orientation. Notice, not gender identity. Although that has now been added, thankfully. But we used that. We won, but we also used the internet and got folks riled up about that. And so for a while it dealt with that, and then it just kind of sat vacant for a good long time, and I used it just for the email address. And Jeremy, my partner, kept telling me, you know, this whole blog thing that everybody's talking about, Bill, and you're just ignoring it. You're just sitting over there reading your email and not doing anything. You're always telling me all this stuff. Why don't you tell the world? I ignored him for the longest time. You know, that's what partners do. And so finally, just to get him off my back, I said, all right, what is this whole blogging thing that you're telling me about? And so by this point, he's a little peeved at me because it's been a few months. So I think he sent me off to Blogger was where we started, and said, just sign up for an account. You'll figure it out. And we've gone from there. Jeremy is my tech guy because he's just technologically brilliant. I'm technologically stupid. We make a really, really good team that way. I break the stuff. He fixes it. So he helped me to get it all moved over to Balearico. I started blogging. You know, as a kid, I was never very good at the whole keeping a diary thing, even though I tried. And let me tell you, I had the girliest diaries, too. I would get, like, the big pink things that, like, you know, had the big lock with the heart on it because I wanted it so bad. My sister, like, kept a great diary, was very thorough. I wanted to be so like her. It never worked out. It lasted, like, 3 days, and I'd throw it away and be like, this is boring. I'm not doing this. Blogging ended up kind of the same way for me. You know, and you know, who comes to your blog when you post once a week? You know, it's unless you're showing pictures of the nudie boys, nobody's going to show up. So quickly I realized, hey, this is some hard work if I'm going to do content every day. And I said, hey, Jeremy, you thought blogging was really, really, really cool, so why don't you do it with me? Well, nobody was doing group blogs back then, so Jeremy had to kind of hack stuff around, and I'm not sure if we actually ended up moving off of Blogger and onto Movable Type first or how that all happened, but both of us were on the blog at the same time, and, well, neither of us wanted to blog every day. Jeremy's even worse about writing every day than I am. So we'd gone to a conference here in Indiana where there were a lot of people from the LGBT community and the various organizations in their leadership. And, you know, here in Indiana, and I know it's the same way across the nation, but there's a lot of infighting, you know, amongst the various LGBT groups. Even though there's, you know, the equality group that brings everybody together, a lot of them don't like each other. They have personal issues with this person or that person. Or, you know, in some cases, people just aren't really very nice.
Been there.
So I thought, being the young dreamer, that, well, how about if I give you all a chance to blog and you can show your personalities to the state of Indiana? And, you know, I figured, well, if they saw what Bob was reading at home, they couldn't attack him personally. Well, it didn't really work like that. So, well, and the main problem being that most of them didn't really want to blog, so they didn't really say much. And, well, I wanted something to be there, because then I got kind of vain about the whole, you know, is anybody coming? So I started blogging every day, and it just kind of, after a while, it became a habit. I blogged every day, and I checked, and we started growing. We ended up, I think it was last year, we were voted as Indiana's most politically influential blog. We've kind of grown as I led the charge for the human rights ordinance here in Indianapolis for sexual orientation and gender identity that got us a lot of readers. The Tony Dungy story that broke nationwide about him speaking to the Indiana Family Institute, that was Balearico that broke that story. And, I mean, we even made it into Sports Illustrated for that one. So it was really funny seeing my quote in Sports Illustrated because, you know, let's be clear, I can't even play ping pong. So I was in Sports Illustrated. I had to make sure that I cut that out for, you know, posterity. I sent it to my mom and my dad with, see, I did make you proud. No grandchildren, but I made it to Sports Illustrated.
Yeah, that'll do.
I figure it's the butchest thing I've ever done. My dad will be so proud. I wrote something. But we've just kind of expanded from there. And as more people came and more people came, we were talking a lot about Indiana issues, and that was great, but it's kind of a limited audience. And we got a lot of looks from folks around the country. But as we could look at the statistics, they didn't stick around. They were there and then they were gone. They read that one story and then they could care less about a local race in Indianapolis, really. Even though we had, you know, 8 contributors that could talk intelligently about just about anything, we tended to focus more locally. And then we started expanding because, well, this is Indiana. Not a lot really happens here, especially in the LGBT community. So you're going to cover a lot of national stories. And as our national coverage expanded, well, then people started sticking around. Well, it's easy to see what people wanted. And we've kind of continued that. It got big enough eventually that I had to hire Alex, our content editor, and we actually went commercial and started accepting advertising because we were getting so many requests for advertising. And Alex, Jeremy, and I, we kind of sat around one day and said, well, what's the natural evolution of this? And we've been doing the group blog for so long, we just said, well, let's take it even bigger. Let's be the big editorial page that everybody always wants to talk about. We had comics that went up. We had videos that went up. It was really kind of hard to read in a big blog format of everything in the left column and 2 static columns to the right. So we decided to shake it up. Jeremy built a new template, and we went from there and called it The Project because we invited just what we thought was what would be a really cool team of people to be able to read on a regular basis if I was able to pick up the newspaper or a magazine and read the columns by these folks for that day. That would make an interesting read, I think. Well, all right, let's invite them along. So we ended up with folks from Patricia Nell Warren, who wrote one of the, I think it was the first book that featured a gay character to hit the New York Times bestseller list, with The Front Runner, which is absolutely one of my favorite books. I literally chose her because it was the first book that I read that had a gay character in it. Now, granted, the character died at the end of it, but, you know, that was a few years ago. But it made such a huge impact. It was like, wow, I would love to be able to read what she thinks about X, Y, and Z on a regular basis. Or Joe Salmonis. You know, we hear a lot about Joe. We've talked about HRC today. Well, let's give the guy a chance to talk about what he wants to talk about. Matt Foreman, same way, in GLTF. So we invited several organizational folks, but we made it clear to them that we didn't want them for their organization. You know, if I want to know what HRC says, I can go to the HRC blog or I can go to the HRC website and find that out. I don't need the same newsletter content regurgitated over on Balearico. We want to know what the contributor thinks. So, you know, Steve Rawls, for example, a lot of people know him for his work with Service Members Legal Defense Network. Mm-hmm. And that's great, but you'll find Steve over on Balearico talking about Madonna or talking about, you know, stuff that does actually involve the armed forces. Because there's all kinds of things that we're all involved in and we're all interested in. And it's not just work 24/7 and national politics. There's all kinds of stuff that goes on in the gay community. And again, using that as an overarching term, queer community. Maybe we should go back to the conversation about one word there, Peter.
Exactly. I always catch myself. I use one term or the other, and that I have to pause. Yeah, it's complicated. We are complicated people.
We just invited some folks that we really thought we could have some fun with. Today we announced on the site we've actually grown large enough that we need some more help. Alex and I are getting a little overwhelmed right now with all of the new contributors that are signing up and or new commenters that are constantly signing up as users of the site, and the traffic has literally gone through the roof. When we have, I think Barney Frank was now our 4th congressperson that has guest posted to the site along with Bill Richardson, who ran for president, or who is running for president, not ran. Sorry, Bill. But it's just grown, so we've invited three of the contributors now to become associate editors and to help us out for a while. So hopefully it will keep growing. It's a long, strange ride, but it's been a fun one so far. That's for sure.
Well, I have to say that in a way, it reminds me a little bit of the Head-On Radio Network. Apparently, you and Jeremy are co-owners, or anyway, you work as a team to run the organization, is what I'm gathering here. And in the case of the Head-On Radio Network, we have Bob Kincaid and Agnes Kincaid who are heading up this organization. It seems that we're homegrown stuff is working out kind of rather well, I'd say.
Well, isn't that where most activism starts? Home?
Good point. Very good point. Another thing, too, I wanted to say is the site is amazingly easy to use. Even though you have that much content, kudos to Jeremy. The site is so easy to use and to navigate and to locate and to search. Well done.
He did a spectacular job with that. We literally drove him, I think, just nuts over that site. We had at least 10 or 15 different proposals for what the site should look like. And we went through all of those, let me tell you. And we didn't like this one. We did like that one. There was something wrong with this one. Oh, that one was too big over there. And the poor guy stuck it out. And finally, just kind of ended up telling us, look, you choose a logo, and I'll do the rest. We chose the Bellerico Project logo that you see at the top left.
Yeah.
Jeremy did the rest. And literally said, this is what it's going to look like. I think this is the best. It's the best that I can do. We all said, well, show it to us. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's perfect. So It worked. He's a great web designer.
Well, it's quite wonderful.
Design, by all means, email Jeremy because we'd like to.
Well, even down to the level of your emails have active content. I that's the first email I've ever. I mean, I've got logos and stuff in my email, and I've seen plenty of emails with logos and links, all of it, but I've never seen an actual email with active content. I thought, whoa, that is cool.
Yeah, it's. It's a little trick from the company that burns our feed for us that allows us to do it. And again, I have to give the props to Jeremy. Like I said, I'm not a tech guy. It's not meant really so much, I think, for email as it is for a web page, so that way you could put it on a different web page. And he was the one that said, this will work with your email. Put this as an email signature. And now when I went back to they'd updated it and everything, and I looked, and now they're like, hey, works with email. And it was like, yeah, well, I had that, a year ago. Thanks, Jeremy. Great job, guy.
It's brilliant. It's just brilliant. So no matter when you open one of your emails, it's always got new content. It's just amazing.
And it's a link straight back to Bellerico. And, most of our contributors now, it's kind of funny we're low budget. We're not making any real money off of the site. We accept some advertising, but it's not as if Coke is offering us exclusive deals or anything. So everybody's doing this for the love of it. But the contributors are really invested in the project. A lot of them have their own blogs. Michael Crawford, for example, who is one of the associate editors now, his own blog, Bloggernista. I knew Bloggernista before I actually knew Michael because I knew the name and, knew that he was a good blogger. He's now becoming an associate editor over at the Bellerico Project. Well, that's a great level of involvement. And, I'm now just as involved not as involved, but as invested in Bloggernista because, our contributors want to go over to Michael's site and comment. And they go over to each other's because we all kind of feed each other now. It's a really nice way of doing business because we all like each other. I mean, granted, some people have had their differences in the past. And, we have some considerations. I think everybody knows with the LGBT community, it's kind of like herding cats at times, but, when you're dealing with personalities and egos. But for the vast majority of the time, everybody gets along. They disagree with each other. They have civil discussions. Alex and I are constantly disagreeing with each other on the site. I mean, but nobody really does that whole tacky thing of, oh, well, so-and-so put up a post, and now I'm going to put up a post that says they're stupid. You know, any arguments or conversations happen in the comments thread. These were a really well-behaved bunch. I'm really impressed by that.
Well, I must say that at some point in the future, I would like to contact Jeremy and ask him to be a guest. I think he would be a wonderful guest, and perhaps we could have a discussion about the use of technology and advancing the things we need to advance. Apparently, he's a great guy to do that with.
Yes, I have to say he would be perfect for that, because he can talk technology till the cows come home, and he comes up with the most unique uses for some things that you just wouldn't believe the success that we've had in organizing with some of it.
Well, another question that I have to ask you, and it's from genuine interest. What's up with Matt Gold? Did he make it to Seattle? You know, we had him as a guest, and he was fascinating. And did he go?
Oh, no, Matt has not made it to Seattle yet. He's in Bloomington. We just did a post on him and the Cold Hearted song the other day, because it kind of brought it all back, you know, doing your radio show and everything. He's still working on getting there. I don't want to speak for Matt. He was waiting on something to happen before he actually left, and that hasn't happened yet. Leave it at that.
I see. Okay, that's fine.
Yeah, something personal with his wife, not anything with his music or anything. And he's still waiting on that to happen.
Yeah, well, he was a terribly interesting guest, and very genuine. The chat room loved him, and the feedback I got via email, everybody loved loved Matt and wished him well. And I'm sure we'll love Jeremy as we love you. And I'm wondering, in general, about the whole Bolerico project. What would you say is the most exciting thing, the biggest thrill that you've gotten in doing this? There must be a moment, a snapshot in time, as you look back over the whole thing, that's epic.
Oh, there have been several, actually. Well, the post that you talked about, the dirty underbelly that you've talked about quite a bit, that caused quite a stir here in Indiana. Don Scherfick, when he broke about the Indiana Family Institute and Tony Dungy, that went nationwide, and that was really exciting to see. Launch Day, when we went national, that was probably the most traffic that the site has ever seen, was that first week that we were relaunching. And just the sheer number of folks coming was enough for a heart attack. But it was hugely exciting. And I get really excited, honestly, about just watching everything go up. I'm a big one for being able to look at the long haul and, how is this going to play out in the end. And being able to watch all of the statistics for the blog as they just keep going up, and that more people keep coming and more contributors are writing. I can actually say, I will give you an exclusive. Our newest contributor, it will be our 40th contributor, actually, and will be announced on the blog on Friday. So our readers who aren't listening won't know this until Friday. But Jim Vararos from American Idol fame will be our 40th contributor.
I'll be damned.
So he'll be joining the site as of Friday. So it's all exciting. It just keeps happening so quickly. You know, when Barney Frank's office is tracking you down to say, the representative wants to guest post on your site, I'm out working for my candidate, I'm door knocking at the time, and another contributor is like, hey, let's get this together. You could have Barney Frank on your site. So so many, and we can now. That's the exciting part is, three years ago, this was just me going, what's this blog stuff you're talking about? Now, congressmen are guest posting. It's fascinating. The level of influence and the level of how quickly it happened. Also, I mean, I've been an activist for years, but not on the national stage. And I don't know that I would even consider myself technically an activist on the national stage now, but maybe more of a journalist. It's kind of that weird gray area for bloggers, isn't it?
Well, it is, and the whole thing about a successful blog is there's magic involved. Not only talent and promotion, but there's just some magic involved. Sometimes things just catch fire. It's hard sometimes to put your finger on exactly why, but truly that's the case. And by the way, I don't want to forget to say this to you. You know, we run public service announcements, you know, constantly during breaks. When we have a guest, we often just skip breaks and just go right through. But during a normal show, whatever the hell that is, you know, we pause for breaks at top of the hour news, this, that, and the other. I would, if you would, I'd like you to consider maybe having something like a Blerico Minute, you know, a segment that you could record to run during the show that you could update, you know, weekly or daily or whatever. It might be a different way of communicating. I have approval to do that from Mr. Kincaid himself. We are in a different chat room, production chat. So, just so you know.
All right. Well, thank you for the offer. We've Jeremy again. Imagine that has long been bugging me to do a podcast and actually get it going. And well, you know, he's my partner, and I'm kind of slow to do these things. And we're kind of back to the whole blogging thing now, aren't we? And you know, it was a success, so I should probably take his advice on this too. So that would probably be something that Jeremy would especially be spectacularly interested in, definitely setting up and scheduling a time, because I know he'll work me straight into a podcast once he's got me doing that for you.
So,
yeah, that's something that I imagine that could probably help, because you could really rope Jeremy in on that whole, help push him towards that, and you'd have it, you know?
Okay, I'll drop him a note some more to tomorrow when I when things are a little bit closer to reality. I'll drop him a note about how we'd be, and also be happy to host the podcast. If that's something you would like to do, the Head On Radio Network is carried by iTunes and a number of other streaming services, and so we're definitely out there when we're not being attacked. We're out there. So that being the case, and I'm getting this stuff from the guy himself. I'm not just making it up on the fly. These are things that Mr. Kincaid is actually saying to me as we speak in the main chat room. So I'm just glad to let you know.
I'm never at a loss usually for what to say. I'll keep going for the longest time possible. So. Your minute may end up a minute and a half. You'll be like, oh, I didn't invite this guy again.
Oh, Lord. Tell me about, for instance, Pam. Pam's husband. Now, Pam Spaulding has a wonderful blog on her, a standalone on her own.
She does. She has what I personally aspire to, and that is the ability to write succinctly and make your point as quickly as possible with as much impact as possible. If I could write personally one-tenth as well as Pam, I would be happy. I love her to death. She was one of the first bloggers that I actually met, and Melissa McEwen from Shakespeare's Sister, that I actually met online, that were the big bloggers that would actually talk to me. And Pam has coached and guided me personally for a long time. I have the deepest respect for Pam.
Well, she has an incredible wit. She really does. She can, if she wants to, she can bite really hard without seeming to raise a sweat. She's really good. I love her wit. And I'm just wondering, is there some feeling that you're going to absorb some of these blogs? Are these people are all pretty much content to run their own blogs? Do you see, in other words, are you going to become something like Pepsi Cola or Coca Cola and start taking over the world? What's going on along those lines?
Well, I doubt that. but no, Alex gave up his website, ran his blog, Q-Bomb, and he gave it up for Balerico when he became the editor. We've talked to a couple of other bloggers that have said possibly that they were going to give up their blog. But, you know, it's not that big of a deal to me. If they really want to give up their blog and just hang out here, that's great. But I'm all in favor of keeping your own book. Because, you know, maybe it's just me and the way that I grew up or the way that I operate. But I kind of like my own thing going off on the side anyway. It may not be as popular for some of our bloggers, or in Pam's case, I think Pam still outranks us in hits and viewers. So maybe she's more popular. But it's hers, and she can take pride in that. And I don't want to take pride away from anybody. So by all means, have your own blogs and talk about stuff. She cross-posts some stuff, you know, some of the bloggers cross-post. Some of them write original content for us. Some of them just link back to their own content. It's up to each person. The rules that we have for the project, very, very loose. And that's don't be abusive, don't be nasty, and don't be hateful. And, well, of course, number four, don't do anything that's going to get us sued. First three. And other than that, the floor is theirs. We don't censor what they say. They have the right. Everybody can publish to the front page. We don't. I can only think of maybe twice that we have ever asked a contributor in 3 years to remove a post. And for one was just, it was completely off topic and had nothing whatsoever really to do with where we were as a site. And the other one was that it went too far and the sources couldn't be verified, at least not to my satisfaction. Otherwise, I would have, I believed what the poster had to say. It was just anonymous sources. So I asked for its removal. But they have it. It's what they want to talk about. It's the topics that they find important. To me, that's fascinating. That's why I enjoy my own site, is because, well, I like seeing what Marty Abernathy has to say, or Rebecca Juro, or, you know, the list goes on and on with 40 people now. It's fascinating. I also think it's kind of nice, because one thing that I think is rather unique about both Pam's site and mine is African-American influence. Because with Pam, you have this hugely popular website that's being run by a black woman. And, you know, in our society, women are looked down upon, blacks are looked down upon, and God forbid you be a black lesbian. I mean, she has really taken it, and she has built something spectacular. And when you look at Balearic Co., a lot of the other blogs that you see out there that are group blogs, well, it's very self-segregating. It's a bunch of gay guys, or it's a bunch of lesbians, or it's white guys, or it's black folk. We have a large segment of African-American bloggers. We have Hispanic, we have Asian, we have men, women, trans, bisexual, straight. It's a whole community. Because, you know, I'll give this one to Hillary. It does take a village to raise a child. And, well, the project, it's become our child. And I'm kind of glad to see that it's got so many different parents. Because I think that's really healthy for the site.
Well said. That's something that we try to do here is keep the guests as diverse as possible. We've had so many different types of people on the show, and it's fascinating to me, and it must be from your point of view too to be able. These are things that you nor I would ever be exposed to over a period of time. It's really you couldn't ask for a better job.
Yeah, that's what I mean. This is great for me. Do I think I'm the perfect end-all, answer-all to everything? No, and maybe that makes me not the best blogger in that I'm not a know-it-all on everything. But, you know, I'm learning a heck of a lot. And that's spectacular. That's great. If we all learn as much as I'm learning off my own site, we're a better place.
Well, Bill, we have I agree. And it's an amazing thing that you and I get to do. We have a caller that would like to join us. If that's okay with you, Bill, his name is Jim. He's one of our regular listeners.
Sure.
Jim, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Good evening, sir.
All right, Jim. How are you?
Reasonably well. I've enjoyed what you've had to say, and I found it quite remarkable. There's only one thing I have to make a comment about, and I submit this most respectfully. When you say all or nothing, to me that sort of sounds like victory or death, which is, as I recall from history, is exactly what Adolf Hitler sent to Rommel in North Africa, which of course resulted in very bad consequences. And I think sometimes you have to peacefully penetrate and to drop back in and continue to do the best you can at a pace that you can't dictate, but it's sort of dictated by society in a way.
Jim, was that
out? It will come about, but it may not come about with the rapidity and the speed with which you would like for it to.
Jim, was that when we were talking about including everyone? Was all or nothing? Was that said when we were talking about not leaving out the transgender? I'm not sure
exactly. I would assume that it meant, you know, everything or nothing. That's the way I interpreted it. Now, I'm not exactly sure in the vein in which that was intended.
Oh, I see. I kind of heard it as everyone or no one, but Bill, what do you say?
That was in reference to Inda and the transgender, and I will actually stand by that, in that I think in this case it is. It's all or nothing. Don't pass an Inda that only protects me or a lesbian. Instead, I'd rather wait and have the nothing of waiting until we have enough votes to pass an INDA that includes the transgender community. I realize that there are problems going on with gays and lesbians, and that INDA would solve a lot of those problems. But it's not worth it to me. It's a hollow victory. It's ashes in the mouth to be able to look at my friends and say, now I'm worthy of protection, but you're not.
Well, I understand what you're saying. I would much rather have a real victory than a pyrrhic victory. However, you know, unfortunately, things do not move at the pace that you dictate. And unfortunately, the world simply doesn't work that way. And I think what you are going to accomplish politically would almost require a constitutional amendment.
You know,
I really believe that's exactly what would happen because it happened. You know, that's exactly what happened to the civil rights movement initially back in after the Civil War, and you see how long it took that to be enforced. That happened in 1863, 1865, and it wasn't until 1955 until Brown versus Board of Education came about. And then you've seen the struggle that has ensued since 1955 to the present day. And unfortunately, there are certain things which can't be corrected immediately. And I don't mean to sound cruel or harsh, but and I hate to quote this man, but he did make a point, and it was Khrushchev who said there are certainly certain mistakes which only the grave will correct.
You know, I actually agree with him there. That's true. But I don't necessarily know that in this case, this is a situation where we have to worry about and picking them up later. My understanding of the politics of this, and especially here in Indiana where we had two of the Democrats that voted against hate crimes here. So I understand where the whole, you know, oh, but we don't want to include gender identity because we need to be able to be safe at home when we're being voted on again. I know what those congressmen are thinking. I've had those conversations. But I think when it comes down to it, what we would face isn't that we wouldn't have enough votes now for it to automatically pass. I think we would. Well, we'd at least be close. I'm sure there's probably a few. But that's what House leadership is for, to shore up those votes and make sure that those votes are all there.
And I mean, and let's be clear, the chances of INDA actually getting signed into law by President Bush are pretty nil. So why would you actually pass legislation? This would be the first time that INDA has actually passed the House. It will set the precedent for what is to come. So why accept something that's only, I don't know if I can say this on the radio or on the internet, but it's half-assed, that doesn't include the transgender, and make that the standard for what will happen next year when it gets introduced. And when we get that Democratic president, who's probably going to be Hillary Clinton, then do we pass her an INDA that still doesn't include gender identity because that's what got passed before? Or do you take the hard bite and you say, I need this many legislators to pass this, and you put it to a vote? And if you don't have enough with gender identity in there, it doesn't pass. It wasn't going to pass anyway. But then when you get that Democratic president, you keep gender identity in there. And as we've learned in civil rights since the 60s, more and more people usually come to their senses and say, wow, I'm so embarrassed that I thought like that, my father thought like that, my grandfather did that, because people naturally become more accepting as they become used to something. And, you know, 2 years from now, we will be able to pass an INDA that has gender identity in it through both houses of Congress and the president's desk? Yeah, probably.
It's now, though,
that we're setting the standard for what that bill will be. And that's why we need to keep the transgender community in it and make it all or nothing, because that's going to set the standard years down the road.
Well, I understand what you're saying, and I'm not promoting any agenda here in this call to you. I'm really not. I'm just looking at it from the practicality of history. I mean, you can look about on many movements in history. For example, look at the communist movement, and you look at Leon Trotsky as opposed to Joseph Stalin. Trotsky built his castles of air. Stalin built socialism in one country. And, you know, you see which one succeeded. I guess I'm trying to be pragmatic here and practical as well.
I should just make a quick point. I just want to point out that Lottie in the chat room pointed out regarding constitutional amendments that the Constitution already says that we're created equal. You know, it's just that we need to follow the Constitution. I just wanted to throw that in because we did bring up constitutional, and I just wanted to give you the input from the chat room. That's all.
Well, you know, the Constitution is like the Bible. It's open to interpretation, whether you're loose constructionist or strict constructionist. And, of course, that is a good point. And I think I've made a good point, too. But the major point I would like to make in closing is this. And I'm quoting from John Kennedy a long time ago when he said, we all inhabit the same planet. We all breathe the same air. We all have hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And we all are mortal. And it is my hope as a human being, and I'm not speaking from any degree of sexual orientation, race, or whatever, but as a human being, I would hope to live to see the day when we can at least live in some modicum of acceptability and decency without any more Matthew Shepherds, without the necessity of having to paint nasty slogans on garage doors, and we all can ascend into a bigger and brighter world.
I think you found something that we can both agree on there, Jim.
I just finished watching this whole series on World War II. And, you know, as Peter will tell you, I'm a student of history. That's where my training is military. My education is European history. And when I see and read the passages of the Nuremberg Laws, promulgated in 15 September of 1935 by Adolf Hitler and his thugs, and the beginnings of the different colored triangles
that sent people into camps and ovens. They were pink, green, red, all types of people. I just hope that God in his infinite wisdom will give us the means to realize the horror and the stupidity of that sort of thinking. And my friend, I wish you well.
Well, thank you, Jim. Thank you, and we appreciate your call. Always a well thought call, Jim. And thank you for calling. Good evening. And Bill, are you still with me?
I sure am.
Excellent. Okay. Let's see. You have been a remarkable guest. You really have. I should say to you that I've fired a number of questions at you, but normally. You know, I always worry that I don't hit any particular target. I just hit something. So I don't want you to go away without just opening, without asking you any questions. There are probably things you would just like to say about the project and about what's going on in general in our world and anything you'd like.
I'd encourage, of course, all of your listeners to come visit us, www.bilerico.com, BILERICO.com. You'll find 40 different contributors that are interested in a huge amount of subjects. And if you don't see something there that you want to talk about, shoot one of us an email, and it'll probably show up on the site soon. We have a comic strip that goes Monday through Friday. We have What the Buck, the comedian Michael Buckley that puts his shows up supposedly Monday through Friday, although sometimes he graces us with some personal video blogs on the weekends. We have lots of different features that I think most people could be interested in. So, and then, you know, I guess if you're able to hear this, then turn around and tell 10 friends about us. So that way, you know, more people are showing up. But come and join the conversation. That's actually what makes the site, is the conversation. I don't want to just be talking into a vacuum, and neither does anybody else. So come let us know when you think we're full of crap. Come tell us you agree with us or challenge us to think about other things. But that's the beauty of being gay. There's a lot of diversity in our community. There's a lot of different ways of thinking about things. And we don't always march in lockstep, and I don't know that we should.
Interesting. You know, I'm tempted to ask you if I can mount the Head On Radio Network Strictly Confidential show's audio archives on your site, at least a link to them. That might be, that's a whole other subject. It's just, you know, it's such a wonderful place. I don't want you to go away without me asking this, too. We've talked about the G's, we've talked about the L's, and we've talked about the T's. But a group we always leave out are the bees.
Yep.
Do you have any people who represent the bisexual community that blog? And it's an area that I haven't really found anyone to be on the show to. You know, it seems to be an often overlooked area, even for me.
Well, I think one of the best ones, if you look in our the best of section, you'll see a post up towards the top by Jessica Hoffman that's entitled Why I Don't Do Bi. Read that one. That's a good one. She's bisexual. Bruce Parker, also bisexual. I know there's at least another two. I don't really keep track of everybody's sexuality and gender identity. We've hit the point now where it's too hard to remember everybody.
Uh-huh.
At least those kind of details, you know. My point is always, what is it your business who I'm sleeping with? I don't really consider it my business who they're sleeping with either. But I know Jessica's post has been hugely popular ever since she put it up. So, and it still gets quite a bit of traffic and comments on a regular basis. So by all means, check it out. And she would be the one to talk to you more about bisexual issues because, well...
Wonderful.
She's really smart about a lot of things, and I know her post really opened up a lot of eyes.
Wonderful. That she would probably be a good guest, and I'll definitely look that up. And I promise you, I absolutely promise you, this is the last question I'm going to ask you. I went to the Bellerico space on MySpace, and I encountered a song called Big Girl by Mika, an amazing
Mika.
Track. Yeah, Mika, that just blew me away. In fact, I saved it so that we could. I was gonna. The song only runs 4 minutes, so there's time to actually run it for the end of the show. I wanted to run that. How did you come across that track? I love it.
Mika is a really popular pop star from. I think he's from England. He won't say whether or not he's gay or he's bisexual or he's straight. Although pretty much if you see him, you know he's gay. Come over to the Bellerico Project, search for Mika, M-I-K-A. You'll find most of his videos that are up. They're really great. Big Girls is one of my favorites. Billy Brown is another one. Billy Brown, the lyrics to it are great. Billy Brown figures out that he's in love with another man. So
there's a wealth of programming from that. Maybe I'll try to seduce him into an interview.
Mika, Mika's actually pretty big now. So I know I've been trying to get an interview with him for a long time. And they pretty much still dismiss us. So
I see.
Good luck. If you get him, I want to be able to do a blog post on it because I think he's absolutely adorable.
Well, I do too. The track is wonderful, and we'll go ahead and run that. And again, Bill Browning, thank you so much for being on Strictly Confidential. You're an amazing guest. We appreciate your being here.
Well, thanks for having me, Peter. I had a lot of fun.
Thank you, sir. Good night to you. And, my friends, and we are blessed with wonderful guests on this program. We are truly blessed. And I won't delay, just to give you the track that played when I went to the Bellerico Project on MySpace, it just rocked my world. I thought it was fabulous, and it's a four-minute track, so there's plenty of time to run that. So you got to hear this. It's very good. It's called Big Girl by M-I-K-A, Mika.
Big girls, you are beautiful. Water in a hole with the girls around and curves and all their places. Big girls, you
Of a guy that has that song playing on his MySpace page. I come across so much fun music, but just by going to our guest MySpace pages. Did he say that was pronounced Mika or Mika? I don't remember, M-I-K-A. Fabulous song. We'll have to play some of his other music. Now, that was Bill Browning from the Blerico Project. If you're not in the chat room, we have been posting links to the Blerico Project in the chat room. If you want to Google it, it's spelled B-I-L-E-R-I-C-O. You can just Google that one word, and it'll bring it up. Or you can go to strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and strictlyconfidentialradio.com will bring up the calendar, which has links to all of Bill's, to the project itself, and a link to a page that'll tell you more about Bill. What a great guest. I am so glad to be back. This evening has proceeded normally with no internet weirdness whatsoever. I would assume that our caretakers in the big internet service provider building up in the sky have monitored the traffic and perhaps blocked whatever was going on at 9 p.m. But Lord have mercy, there was evil at 9 p.m. I cannot believe, and it was really getting to me because I've almost had enough points to win the toaster. You know, you get a toaster or a microwave oven for recruiting the most children. So, and I was almost, but I missed some shows. Pardon my sick sense of humor. Also, I'll have to drop Bill an email to remind him about the Blackwater fellow Eric Prince. About the fact, and in fact, I just got confirmation Wikipedia did remove that line. Very interesting. Tomorrow night, our guests we'll have two guests from two separate cities on with us. It will be Chris, don't have Chris's last name right now, and DJ Jerry Bonham. It'll be one of our music shows. We're coming up this coming weekend on the 30th anniversary of the Trocadero Transfer. The Trocadero Transfer is legend. There, you can count on a handful of, on maybe one hand, the legendary gay clubs. There was Studio 54, the Saint, the Crow, the Trocadero Transfer. In any case, Jerry will be DJing that event this coming weekend in the original Trocadero Transfer building. It was the stuff of legend in San Francisco, and if I were in San Francisco, I can guarantee you that in fact I would be at the Trocadero Transfer. But since we can't go, we'll have the guys who are behind it. I'm looking forward to having them on the show. And so that wraps it up. A fairly normal evening here on Strictly Confidential. And in closing, here's Cynthia Manley reminding you to...